Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got new price target increases on Tesla stock from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup to discuss. We've also got an update from Ron Barron on his thoughts on Tesla at the moment. News from GM and Ford both have reported earnings. Some interesting new details on Tesla's deal with Hertz, a new Tesla feature update, some news on the EV tax credit, and other things going on in government right now, and an update on Lucid. Pretty good day for Tesla today. Not quite as volatile as the last couple of days have been, but Tesla did end up finishing up almost 2%. To $1,038.31, which is actually an all-time high close, albeit not quite at the 1094 peak on Tuesday. Pretty good performance relative to the macro. The S&P and the Dow finished down between 0.5% and 0.75%, and the Nasdaq was flat. Tesla may have gotten a bit of a boost today from a price target increase from Goldman Sachs overnight. They continue to carry a buy rating on the stock and have increased their price target from $905 previously, now to $1,125. In the note, they do share their thoughts on the Hertz deal. In general, they're bullish on that, but not really anything new there that we haven't covered already. As for their updates to their model, they are saying that they are maintaining their earnings per share forecast for 2021 of $4.21 on a GAAP basis. So that actually implies only GAAP earnings in Q4 of $1.36. Q3 was $1.44 on a GAAP basis for perspective on that. So I think they're still quite low on 2021, and I'm sure they also realize that, but just don't care to update their model for that for some reason. Anyway, for 2022, they're forecasting $6.85 on a GAAP basis, 2023, $8.35. That's about a 10% increase on their forecast for 2022, and a little more than a 20% increase for 2023. As for deliveries, they expect about 1.3 million next year, and then 1.6 million the following. On the price target, they say that increase is, quote, based on 15 times from 13 times to reflect an improved longer-term revenue and margin outlook applied to our updated Q5 to Q8 revenue estimate. 15 times is near the high end of Tesla's historical range, end quote. So they're using a forward price-to-sales ratio and then looking at historical forward price-to-sales ratios. It's a little bit confusing, but if you look at their earnings numbers, their $1,125 price target would be about 165 times their earnings for 2022. Meanwhile, it also looks like we've got a price target increase on Tesla from Citigroup. This, I believe, was just a Bloomberg terminal headline, so I haven't really seen any articles to confirm this, but looks like they've increased their price target all the way up to $137 from $117 previously. I don't know what their model is or what they're forecasting. Doesn't really matter with a ridiculous price target like that, but if we just use Goldman Sachs earnings forecast for 2022, that price target would be 20 times Goldman Sachs earnings estimate, and that would be lower than the S&P 500 P/E ratio. So I guess congrats to the Citigroup analyst for being able to maintain a paycheck with that kind of analysis. Anyway, next up here, we've got some news from both GM and Ford reporting earnings today, and then GM's CEO, Mary Barra, appearing on CNBC this morning. Quick recap of earnings. GM reported revenues of $27 billion. That's down about 25% from last year, though obviously a lot of factors there to consider. And earnings were down about 45%. It sounds like both of those did beat slightly analyst expectations, earnings quite a bit. But it seemed like GM's guidance was not as high as what analysts had expected for Q4, and obviously going forward is more important than Q3, which had a lot of impacts from chip shortages, which Mary Barra did say that, quote, we are seeing some improvement in fourth quarter. We expect to see some additional improvements in Q1, although we think the first half of next year will still see impact from the semiconductor shortage. We think it will get better toward the end of the year, end quote. As for year-to-date numbers, despite the lower numbers for Q3, GM is still up year-to-date, but obviously a lot of that because of the shutdowns in the first half of last year. As I mentioned, Barra did appear on CNBC this morning and was asked about catching up to Tesla in electric vehicles, so I want to play that clip here and then we'll talk about it.
Mary, when we talked with you, a couple of weeks ago at Investor Day, one of the goals that you guys stated emphatically was you will be the market leader in EVs. But right now, Tesla is at 63% market share. By 2025, some believe that you can catch Tesla. You guys are at, 9, 10% right now in the U.S. Do you think that you can catch Tesla by 2025?
Absolutely, Phil. When we look at the portfolio, we have not only the Hummer and the Lyriq, but Mark Royce talked about that we're going to have a Equinox-like size product that's going to be at around $30,000. We have the Silverado E coming, a GMC product after that. And again, all the other products that we haven't announced yet, I am very comfortable because when people get into these vehicles, they are just wowed. So, we will be rolling them out, and we're going to just keep working until we have number one market share in EVs.
Okay, so it's great to have those aspirations, and all the best to GM in accomplishing that, but they're not even setting themselves up to do that, because if you look at the actual targets that they have, they said in their update letter today that, quote, by 2025, we forecast that our North American EV vehicle assembly capacity will reach 20% and climb to 50% by 2030. Now, that's actually the most direct number that I've seen them give for 2025. It's still a little bit murky, but I think we can work through that. They note that they are leveraging their established assets for EV production, meaning they can avoid CapEx of $1 to $1.5 billion versus a new factory, while also saving months or years. So I know they're working on battery factories, but it doesn't sound like they have any new vehicle factories planned. So I think this 20% number then means that's all they're trying to produce in terms of EVs. And we don't know their North American production. I don't, at least. If you know it, pass it along. But we do know that even going back to 2019, so pre-pandemic, GM was selling about 3 million vehicles per year in the US, maybe 3.5 million then for total North America. So even assuming all of those sales are actually produced in North America, 20% of 3 or 3.5 million would only be 600,000, 700,000 EVs in 2025. Right now, Tesla's run rate out of Fremont is 450,000, and they have capacity, they say, for 600,000, and we already know they're trying to grow by 50% from Fremont. And over the next year, we're going to see Giga Texas come online, obviously with at least an additional capacity of 500,000 vehicles. So you're already at almost a million there for Tesla, and that's next year. So no, GM, you can't absolutely catch up with Tesla by 2025 because the plans that you're putting in place for 2025 are not even catching up with Tesla's targets for 2022. At best, this is an ignorant comment from Mary Barra, assuming that she doesn't understand Tesla's production targets. And at worst, it's completely misleading to investors because the plans that they are putting in place do not catch up with Tesla. That's unless I'm completely missing something here. It's possible because, again, the information that GM is willing to actually share is very murky. But that would have to mean huge numbers of EVs being imported or another new factory that I'm not aware of, even though GM in this press release is talking down new factories and why their plan to convert is cheaper and faster. So that doesn't make sense. So yeah, it'd be great if GM did actually want to be the EV leader in the US or in North America, but the plans that they're putting in place, they're not that way. GM wants credit for that, but it's just not true. Anyway, I mentioned Ford earnings as well. They reported after hours, and they seem to be really well received. So far, the stock is up 8% as I'm recording after hours. They beat revenue and earnings expectations and raised their guidance for the rest of the year. And while Q3 was obviously still tough overall, earnings were down 23% year over year. They did say that there have been improvements here that have been driven by, quote, significant increases in semiconductor availability and wholesale vehicle shipments from Q2, end quote. So it sounds like both GM and Ford here pointing a little bit to improvements in those shortages. All right, next up here, we've got some more new information on the Hertz deal. It was announced today that Hertz is partnering with both Uber and Carvana. On the Uber side, it sounds like Hertz is going to be making up to 50,000 of these Model 3s available to Uber to then rent to drivers as an alternative to those drivers either buying or leasing their own vehicle. As for why wouldn't Uber just buy the vehicles, well, it's because Uber doesn't classify those drivers as employees, and it sounds like that might throw a wrench into it if Uber were the one just providing these vehicles on their own. So probably not the best of justifications there, but it'll be interesting to see how this develops and how the economics look for those drivers versus owning their own. Sounds like Hertz has done this with Uber in the past, so not an entirely new concept, just the Tesla part would be new. And it looks like drivers will be paying a $334 a week rate, but you get unlimited miles, expenses for recharging, incidental damage, and obviously you don't have the liability of owning the car yourself. As for the Carvana side, pretty straightforward there. Hertz just planning to partner with them for their used vehicle sales when they're ready to retire them from the rental fleet. Some people on Twitter were trying to claim that Hertz would only do this deal if Tesla had given them a super high residual value guarantee, which I think we all understand is very unlikely, but the Carvana deal then makes that even less likely. Hertz interim CEO Mark Fields was also on CNBC this morning, and he was talking about the order with Tesla, saying that it wasn't a transactional thing, but rather a start of a relationship between the two companies, which again implies maybe future deals or more integration between the companies. And he had some other interesting thoughts that I'll play a quick clip of here.
And I think importantly, Joe, what this is going to do, we are going to become expert on managing large electrified fleets well before our competition. And I think that's going to pay a lot of benefits for us today. And as you think towards autonomy down the road, we think we'll solidify our position or create a bit of a moat on being that kind of central component of the mobility ecosystem, because you know many providers of products and services are going to need that, and we want to be there for them.
So you heard him say it there, first mover advantage in terms of the competencies for managing an electric fleet with an eye towards autonomy in the future and being a central part of that ecosystem, which would be fleet management. So we speculated that this is what Hertz is thinking about, and now that is very clear. Rounding out CNBC's very active guest list for today was Ron Barron. Of course, we've talked about his comments on Tesla before. Really nothing new here, but always good to hear from Ron Barron. He does still maintain, obviously, his bullishness on Tesla, SpaceX as well, and says that they do plan to hold for probably another 10 years. All right, next up, we've got a couple of updates on features of Tesla vehicles. The first is on Sentry mode. So we talked previously about how a live feed was hidden in the mobile app code. Looks like that is now being turned on in software 2021.36.8. Redditor Richard Simons, maybe Richard Simmons here, sharing, I think, the first shot of those release notes, and then also posting a YouTube video showing just Sentry mode live stream in action. Cool to see this added, and you'll be able to select which view of the four cameras that are currently in Sentry mode viewable in the car. And then Elon today on Twitter also confirming that you can talk through the car speaker. We also got a couple of updates from Elon on the FSD beta. First of all, just complimenting the team for doing great work, saying, quote, "We'll get superhuman good in upcoming releases. Note, we will slow down upload rate of releases going forward, first from quality assurance fleet to employee cars for a day, then slowly releasing at about 1,000 cars per hour to external beta on Friday afternoon," end quote. He then also added that the tentative plan is to start rolling out to 98 and above safety scores next Friday afternoon. That would be November 5th, end quote. "If we see any concerns, uploads will pause while we investigate, so it might take a few days before everyone with 98 safety gets beta 10.4. 10.4 improves left turns across fast traffic and stopping for gates," end quote. I'm happy to see Tesla revising their strategy here as the beta fleet continues to grow. I think slowly rolling it out to that fleet makes a lot of sense. Obviously, this is still beta software, so there may be issues, but slowly releasing it like that definitely limits the liability if issues do pop up. All right, as I'm recording here, we did actually get a new updated price target from Piper Sandler. They have increased their Tesla price target from $1,200 up to now a street high $1,300 per share. Analyst Alex Potter writes, quote, "Rather than rehashing the quarter or piling on to the bullishness following a big order from Hertz, we prefer to focus on three other insights that we think are getting overlooked," end quote. Those three insights are that, quote-unquote, Tesla killer EV launches from other brands have generally fallen flat, Tesla's recent warranty performance has been strikingly good, and deferred revenue could help offset margin weakness. So I agree with all these points. I mean, on competition, this is what we've been talking about. The announcements are great, but we've been hearing those for years, and we're finally now at a point where automakers are having to put these products into the market and actually see if they can compete. And if they can, then can they produce enough of them, and can they do so profitably? As for warranty expenses, Potter points out that this dropped significantly in Q3 from Q2, down to 1.6% of revenue versus about 2.9% for Q2. So that's a significant factor driving cost of goods sold down and margins up. Then for deferred revenue, of course, we've talked about that. It's about $1.4 billion in deferred revenue from the 10Q that Tesla says that they expect to recognize over the next 12 months. Obviously, a lot of that would hinge on the expansion of the FSD beta. But the timing here is interesting as we think about Giga Texas and Giga Berlin ramping up. If that suppresses margins a little bit, releasing this deferred revenue can stabilize or even improve margins during that period. As for the price target, Potter says that they now expect Tesla sales volume to peak at around 11.5 million units in 2030. I think that's up slightly from their previous forecast. That would imply a number one ranking in market share for the automotive space from their forecasts. And they also bumped up their gross margin expectations a little bit based on the recent results. Potter also says that, quote, "We note that several potential upside levers are still excluded from our forecast, including revenue related to insurance, HVAC, AI as a service, and software in the energy segment," end quote. So like I said, the $1,300 price target here, this is a new street high. This is just barely edging out New Street Research's Pierre Ferragu's $1,298 price target that they bumped up to that level shortly after earnings. This increase does look to be the catalyst in a pretty sharp move here after hours too. It looks like we're up to about $1,061 as I'm recording, about a 2% increase after hours. We'll see if that carries into tomorrow. All right, last couple of things, just kind of a quick check-in on what's going on with the infrastructure bill and budget reconciliation. Axios reporting, quote, "The White House is privately telling lawmakers the climate portion of President Biden's roughly $2 trillion social spending plan is quote-unquote mostly settled and will likely cost more than $500 billion, two sources familiar with the talks tell Axios," end quote. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if that includes the EV tax credit, but we haven't seen anything about it being taken out yet, so I think that's probably more indicative of it staying in, but obviously we'll still have to wait and see. And then in terms of the plan overall, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi did comment today that Democrats feel like it's in pretty good shape. There's been a lot of discussion over the last couple of days about a potential billionaire tax to help pay for this plan. And there's been a proposed structure that would actually tax unrealized gains, which I am personally not a fan of. But Bloomberg did report today that, quote, "The head of the House Tax Writing Committee said a proposal to put a levy on the assets of billionaires has been dropped in negotiations," end quote. Sounds like over in the Senate, though, Senator Ron Wyden, according to Bloomberg, quote, "dismissed Neal's declaration that it was out of the plan," End quote. So I think something like that is pretty unlikely. It's probably more just posturing for some other things, but we'll keep an eye on that too. Obviously, if something like that passed, Elon Musk would have to sell a significant portion of his Tesla shares. Lastly then today, Lucid did announce that they are going to start those customer deliveries that we mentioned might be possible yesterday on October 30th, so that'll be Saturday. And alongside these updates, they did actually share the battery capacity for their Dream Edition Performance, Range, and the Grand Touring version. And we did some EPA figuring out math on this before, but the battery capacities are actually even lower than that sort of suggested. So the Grand Touring, the most impressive here at 112 kilowatt hours for a 516 mile range. Tesla's got about 100 kilowatt hour battery on the new Model S. So with only 12% more batteries, Lucid's actually getting 27% more range on the Grand Touring version. Granted, this is a $139,000 car. That sort of a price is going to let Lucid do things that Tesla's not going to do. And of course, Tesla's obviously getting a really strong margin on the Model S. So the cost difference is probably going to be a greater percent than the price difference. But that being said, I do think these are actually very impressive numbers from Lucid in terms of the efficiency that they're getting. And that's not really sacrificing performance either. The 0 to 60 on that Grand Touring version is 3.0 seconds versus the LR Model S at 3.1. The efficiency difference is quite interesting, especially because the Lucid Air does weigh about 700 pounds more than the long-range Model S. So you gotta kind of wonder what's driving that increased efficiency. And of course, we'll have to wait and get some real-world testing too. But a couple of factors that could be contributing to that is that the Lucid Air is a little bit smaller. So it's about an inch narrower and then about an inch and a half shorter. That'll create a little bit less drag. And then Lucid is also using a 900-volt architecture that could improve efficiencies as well. Tesla's also using older 18650s, obviously updated chemistry, but Lucid, I believe, is using 2170s. Tires could have different rolling resistance, a lot of these little things that potentially are adding up, but I'm not trying to discredit Lucid because, again, these numbers to me look quite impressive. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on and trying to get a better understanding of. Doesn't necessarily cause me any concern about Tesla because right now it's more of a battle of manufacturing and software than it is of efficiency, but this definitely seems like a good first step for Lucid. I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that if you do have any, but that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, October 28th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.